Up next on NHL Fantasy on Ice, Rob and Pete with all the fantasy angles on the Pens Wild trade. They answer your Twitter questions, and they dissect the Tuesday slate. DFS plays, best bets, the works. Stand by for the details.
How's it going, everybody? Tuesday morning edition, NHL Fantasy on Ice. Jensen and Reese coming at you with some fantasy puck talk and some trade discussion after the big move by Jim Rutherford. Pittsburgh Penguins land Jason Zucker. How about it?
Nice. I mean, I love that we're getting after it a little early this season before the deadline. Do your work before. Get your homework in on time. The Pens certainly did that, Pete. And let's just go over briefly the initial fantasy reaction here. A lot of questions directed us at Twitter last night. I think the most common question is, what type of player on your fantasy roster would you be willing to drop to add Jason Zucker with the Penguins?
So the initial reaction was like, this guy's definitely a top 100 forward based on potential playing with Crosby or Malkin. One way it's going to be Crosby and Hornquist, the other way Malkin and Rust. So there's openings on both sides. Zucker can play both wings. So he brings that flexibility and he brings the goal scoring pop that I think the Penguins need moving forward without Jake Guentzel. So initially, top 100 forward, when I looked a little deeper, I moved him in at 86, which is a couple of really solid forwards from strong teams, safe teams, which the Penguins also are. So that's where I would say 86 for me.
I think it's hard for me to answer this question. Like, I on my fantasy team right now, I have a guy like Chris Kreider. I have a guy like Riley Smith and Bo Horvat. I would say those are my three forwards that are probably on the weaker end. So my team is good. My team, this is an auto draft team. I did not make this team, but it's a good team. And so I don't think I would cut any one of those guys. They've gotten me where I am in my league season to date. So for me, I'm going to go a little bit more conservative here and rather wait and watch this one. I mean, what we've seen from the Penguins this year is just unbelievable how they have maintained their standings pace with all of these injuries to their lineup. They've maintained their scoring pace with all these injuries. So I think, yeah, Zucker's a good addition for this top six, but we've seen before wings struggle to play with Sidney Crosby. I mean, we think back to the year that he was playing with Kunitz. That was a good little duo. Then Guentzel finally broke that curse of anybody that can play with Crosby. He did it, but now he's out. So I want to see what Zucker can do with Sid. I don't think Sid's an easy guy to play with because he's so good.
Right, and at least he has options. I mean, clearly the Penguins gave up a lot to get this guy. They've had their eyes on him for a while. They might regret it in the future. This guy has some term left on his contract and will do some damage. I really believe that over the next 3+ seasons that he will hopefully be with the Penguins on a line with one of those two elite centers. But yeah, you look up giving up their top defenseman prospect and a conditional first-round pick and the throw-in of Galchenyuk. It's just a lot to give up. And like you said, there isn't really rhyme or reason to how the Penguins have overcome the absence of Sidney Crosby for like half the season, Jake Guentzel for the rest of the season. Right now, Brian Dumoulin and John Marino both out for the foreseeable future. Other than Chris Letang, those are their top two defensemen. So I'm not sure how they're doing this right now, to be honest.
And like I was saying this morning, it's like Brian Rust, we were talking about it, Pete. Like, when did this guy become better than a point-per-game player? Go back to his college years. He was under a point per game. Now he's above that. Like, it makes no sense at this point in his career.
And another thing is they traded Phil Kessel in the offseason and somehow got better. And when you look at all the wheeling and dealing that Rutherford has done over the years, even to be able to land Kessel in the first place was like a miracle. Mm-hmm. And then what they've done this season is another minor miracle.
Jimmy.
Hall of Famer, Jimmy. Hockey Hall of Famer, Jim Rutherford.
Jimmy, one of my favorite GMs. And on the other side of the coin, Bill Guerin gets a first-round pick. I don't know what to make of Galchenyuk. I mean, this guy is bouncing around all over the place. Is he ever going to...
That's a throw-in. That's the throw-in of the steal. This Kalen Addison kid, look up his stats, man. He's going to be Thomas Chabot. Right? He's a Thomas Chabot-type player. You traded a 55-point player defenseman that's going to be in the NHL either next year or the year after that, quarterbacking a power play for the Wild that's going to have Fiala, that's going to have big names on it. These players, you cannot find these players. You cannot draft these players. It is one out of three or four drafts you can get a player like that. Kalen Addison in Fantasy Keeper Leagues is the player that you want to go after now. He is going to be a star in this league. And a guy like Chris Letang that quarterbacks the Penguins power play right now, his health has been a concern over the past couple of years. I don't know how many seasons more this guy's going to play. So GM, JR, yes, he is a mastermind wheeling and dealing, getting salaries to fit under the cap. But I have to be honest with you. He's going to strike out on one of these deals. He's gotten lucky to this point so far. And by lucky, I mean there is skill involved in that. It's not just throw darts at the board and get one. He's been a good mind so far in hockey, but one of these moves is going to come back to bite him.
They create their own luck with the strong prospect development year in and year out. They are able to bring up these players that fill important gaps and roles, not just scoring and points on paper, but clear roles for the playoffs when it matters most. So they do create their own luck. But I'm with you, man. This team, and we were looking at the standings today, with how good the Metro is, one or two really good teams are going to miss the playoffs this year. And it's like the Penguins are not solidified, even with how well they've played. There's still a month and a half left in the season. They are 4 points ahead of, you know, the last spot.
To Jimmy Rutherford's, I'm going to come to Jimmy Rutherford's defense, and Rob makes some good points. The deal with Jimmy Rutherford, and if you want to know a little bit more about his mindset and wheeling and dealing when he has players like Sidney Crosby and Malkin, is he has to win now. The window is now, and he's trying to win as many Stanley Cups as possible with Sidney Crosby and Malkin, and he says that on the interview with Deb Placey, executive suite, is he has to give up prospects because he has to win as many cups as possible with Sid. So that's sort of the business that he's in. No, I know it's
my,
tough.
My argument on that, though, Bob, is that Malkin and Sid are so good. Their forward group this year has already responded so well to injuries. We've seen Brandon Tanev be a good fit there, which was a good signing by GMJR, that I don't think they need to be mortgaging their future. I mean, at some point, you've got to have young kids come up and give some spark to the older guys in the lineup. I mean, teams like Washington, teams like Pittsburgh, teams like San Jose now, they have a lot of older guys in the lineup. At some point, they need that youth infusion there.
It's going to catch up. There's no doubt. Rob is right. It's going to catch up.
But he has earned the right. Let's remember this. He has earned the right to make these moves because he's won two cups with the Penguins. He won one with the Hurricanes. We mentioned Hockey Hall of Famer. And this guy has earned the trust of the Penguins fan base moving forward. So that's at least he's earned that respect. He's earned the benefit of the doubt. And chances are this thing is going to work out, I think, just to get the Penguins into the playoffs and to make them a threat to win the whole thing. And remember, they could still get Gensel back maybe in the second or third round in the playoffs. And how damn scary would they be if that happened?
That would be incredible. So just to kind of go back into the fantasy spin here, Pete, when we look at adding a guy like Jason Zucker in season-long leagues, I mean, at what point are you saying, like, okay, I am going to pull the trigger on it, and I'm just going to ride it till the end of the year? I mean, just to keep in mind, line combinations are not set in stone. Originally, he's going to be with Crosby. If that doesn't work out, he could even be on the third line, kind of playing like a scoring threat on the third line. So what kind of leash are you going to give this Jason Zucker ad here?
Well, those guys you mentioned, I do agree with you. You should not drop like a Chris Kreider or a Bo Horvat for him, maybe a Tanner Pearson. Talking about Horvat's line mate, I would probably cut Tanner Pearson to pick up Zucker. Some other fan questions from Jebediah: add Zucker for Killorn. I said yes, it's very close. Killorn's currently on the third line, so that was my reasoning there. Would you drop Arvidsson for Zucker? I think also yes. Arvidsson came out of the top 100 forwards this week and has not been anything close to what we've seen from him the past 2 or 3 years prior to this. From Anthony, would you drop DeBrusque for Zucker? I would also say yes, but that one's really close. DeBrusque has been playing better lately. What do you think about that
one? So both Killorn and DeBrusque, I think those guys fit a similar mold of player where they're on very good teams, probably top four in the NHL kind of teams. That's where I have a hard time making that choice for DeBrusque specifically. He is such a strong second half player, and I want exposure to the best or second best power play in the NHL. Fair. I would keep Jake DeBrusque. I know he had a slow start. I'm going to ride him till the end of the season. Now for Killorn, I agree with your logic there. Third line on the Bolts just isn't really of interest to me with how many points Kucherov is getting. There's not going to be a whole lot of cooks in that kitchen rest of season, so I would make that deal. But when you're looking at a team like the Bolts, like the Bruins, and maybe say like a guy like on the Blues that's playing really well lately, I just wouldn't cut the cord from a team like that.
Those are fair points. I think the Penguins are right up there in that conversation, which makes it a really compelling debate because you're choosing between one safe team to another. But again, Killorn, you know that he can function and score 20-plus goals at the three-quarter mark of the season, playing on the third line or second line or wherever he's playing. So just to stick up for Killorn, that maybe that's you go with the better safe than sorry. I don't know.
Now let me ask you this. If you are a Brian Rust owner, mm-hmm. if you are a Patrick Hornquist owner, maybe a Jared McCann owner, all three of which have been fantasy relevant this season, especially Brian Rust. Oh, my God. What are you thinking now in your mindset? Oh, my God, I have these guys. Jason Zucker could get some points. How do you think those three shake out rest of season?
I'm not too worried about Hornquist because he is a great standalone and provides category coverage. Rust could lose some value from this if he's bumped off the first power play. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's going to happen, but it certainly could. The chances of it happening now are much better than if Zucker was not in the picture. So, yeah, that's Rust is maybe a sell-high candidate. I know he's tapered off a little bit over the past two or three games, but still very valuable. Sell-high for the right price on Brian Rust. And then, I think Hornquist, you just got to lock in and have that guy for the rest of the season with his coverage.
Now, when you look at if you do miss out on Jason Zucker, we did last night. I know we're mostly fantasy sharks, you and I, Pete, but we did wait until the trade was official, try to give the gentleman's game sort of rules there, unofficial rules.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think we did the right thing.
I think in hindsight we did. We at least looked good by missing out almost because we played it fair and square without the insider information. But it's like, do we now like maybe get a guy like Justin Schultz if we miss out on Zucker? Like, how can we buy into this maybe team trend here?
It's funny, we were thinking of dropping Antti Raanta, and then of course Kemper's injured again and he gets a win, actually looks pretty good. I was looking his past four, he's like 939 save percentage, so maybe the patience will pay off, you never know. But yeah, I think it hurts to miss out on Zucker. A lot of people did. He was around 22% owned when I first checked, and now he's up to 33% owned. So you look at all the most active leagues around the world, he's probably gone at this point that you're listening to the show. But you never know. If you're in a shallow league, could be an opportunity to still pick up this player. A really good fan question. I thought it was compelling because it's two teams involved in the trade, is a compelling question. Zucker or Fiala rest of season, who would you rather have? Fiala's been turning it up lately. I would go Zucker, but it's pretty close.
I would go Fiala only because the skill set is so much higher. I think this guy, when you watch him play, is electric. He's making highlight reel plays. Now, Zucker, he could have as many goals rest of the season as Fiala. They're not going to be those pretty bar down type toe drag in the middle type snipes. Sure, I'll go with the flashy side. That's I kind of always side with the flashy player in fantasy. Now, that comes to burn you occasionally. But I do think the Wild and Bill Guerin, this trade for them, in my opinion, is a major W. Major win for Bill Guerin here. So I'm going to put my chips in the Wild. I know they're not making the playoffs this season. That would be an utter shock. My jaw would literally strike the floor if that happens. But I do think Fiala has a lot of value rest of the season. And I'm curious, Pete, I do have Galchenyuk in my DFS lineup for Tuesday. I don't know if he's playing yet or not. We record these pretty early in the day, so don't blame us if he's not playing. But I am intrigued to see what he's going to do rest of season two. I know the GMs are kind of passing this player around the league. But, you know, hey, one more shot for Galchenyuk. You know, maybe it starts tonight.
They said something. I guess Rutherford said that he was playing with an injury and didn't tell anybody at the beginning of the season, and then struggled to gain his footing and then missed some time and just couldn't catch up. So I thought that was a little eye-opening. Maybe he settles in with a team, and garbage points can translate to bigger things in the future. So it's not the worst thing in the world if he's on a team that's a bottom feeder and puts up some points and build some momentum heading into next year.
And one thing I want to go on the record here, February 11, 2020, by saying is Kirill Kaprizov, currently playing in the KHL, dominating the KHL. He's like 21 years old, leading them in goals, the whole league. He's the top Wild prospect. He's either coming over next year or the year after. He is going to take the NHL and turn this whole thing upside down. He's going to be a 40-goal scorer minimum in the NHL. So when he comes over and that power play has Kaprizov, Addison, Fiala, watch out. That team is going to be very hard to shut down.
I mean, the best thing for the Wild is that they're finally looking to the future and not trying to hang on to being a fringe playoff team, which they're not anymore. So they've come to that realization. Big credit to Guerin for turning the page for a franchise that's been so veteran laden for the past 5-10 years. I mean, it's at points it's been frustrating to watch for them, not even being a fan of them, you know.
So other big news here, we got Nazem Kadri. Looks like he's confirmed out week to week rather than day to day. Pete, Avalanche, another team that have had some injury concerns this season. Now they think that the trade deadline, they're probably for sure 100% going to add a forward. Maybe it's a JG Pageau type that can play center. Obviously, they've tried putting Tyson Jost there many of times, and it has not worked out. So what do you make of the Nas injury here?
Well, they have the prospects, picks, everything, future building to play with if they want to make that type of a commitment to the present and trying to win the cup this year, which they can. I think they'll need Kadri to do that, but they'll get him back. Eventually, this team's primed for a deep playoff run, I think. I mean, in the short term, if you're looking for somebody out there who's center eligible, who covers hits, one guy that I was looking at is Nick Foligno. He's been playing really well in terms of the coverage, the hits. Plays on the top line now with Pierre-Luc Dubois and Oliver Bjorkstrand for the Blue Jackets. So that's one guy you always look to try to replicate the specific player that goes down, and Foligno plays some center, some wing. That's just one guy that we haven't talked about too much on this podcast that I think could fill the shoes from an outside team for Kadri.
No, that's a great point. And I think just to give more general brush strokes your advice, when you do lose a player like Kadri that points wise is a little bit down this year compared to previous seasons, but hit totals are still there week after week, that you need to replace that player with the same type of production that's in the hits and shots category. So I agree, Foligno is a great guy there to do that. High ice time, which is always another guaranteed way to replace that production.
What do you think about those Vegas centers? Because now William Karlsson's coming back on Tuesday. Karlsson's probably not available, but Stastny maybe. Certainly Chandler Stephenson probably is, unless you're in the deepest of leagues, and continues to play well with Pacioretty and Stone. So, I mean, do you look to try to see which one of those three guys is available? Maybe rank them in order of Karlsson, Stastny, Stephenson, and just add the best guy to replace Kadri?
That would be my order, too, for sure. I've been having trouble with Vegas centers this year. Yeah. They're just too inconsistent. And it's funny because Paul Stastny's middle name is usually consistency. Paul Consistent Stastny. But it hasn't been the case this year. We've seen too much jumbling with the lines. And even now under their new coach, it's still kind of this little blender thing going on. So something there is just a bit off with the chemistry. I would look to see, Pete, like I would be more intrigued on a guy that could be traded like Pageau then kind of go with the industry standard Stastny. So just to be, I mean, it's risky, but I would rather hit on that upside of a guy like Pageau being traded to a team like the Avalanche, have him slide into second line center and see what happens.
I could see that trade happening, and if it does, we'll give you the tip of the cap because that was good forward thinking for sure. And a couple other names to mention, like Jonathan Drouin's back from injury. He's center eligible, center left wing. That's another option. I know Beauvillier's playing really well for the Islanders, scoring a lot of goals. Actually still has more assists than goals on the season, so he's not one-dimensional, far from it. And then Rupe Hintz as well, who we talked about with James yesterday. James actually was talking to me about making a move. He's trying to add Zucker, and he's choosing between Garland, Nick Schmaltz, and Andrei Burakovsky to drop. Now with Kadri out, do we have to start looking at Burakovsky any differently without his trusted line mate?
Probably. I mean, Berkey's been great this season. He has been inconsistent. Like, he'll have 2 weeks with 14 points and then 2 weeks with like 3 points. So that's what you're going to get from Burakovsky. That's just the player that we have come to know today. I would rather see him drop one of the Yotes guys. I'm not.
Can't have two Yotes.
You cannot
on your team
have two Coyotes.
Right now,
I have OEL and Hall in a league, and that team is, I mean, there is no waiver wire ad that can save that thing. So I think just to cut your loss here, James, drop either Garland or Schmaltz. I would prefer to drop Schmaltz. Garland has been really. I mean, this might be more of like a soft kind of story here, but I just love the way that he's kind of emerged very quietly onto the scene this year, scoring goals. I would probably side with keeping Garland, but either Garland or Schmaltz is the one you want to drop.
Garland definitely packs some goal scoring punch any given night. Like even if that team seems like it's lifeless, he'll go out there and fly into the offensive zone and put one in to get that team back on track. But yeah, There are some good games on this big slate. We mentioned one big injury return was William Karlsson. Mm. Another huge one that I know you wrote about yesterday, Anthony Mantha for the Red Wings, who are actually playing really well right now, and they reunite that, you know, stacking option with Bertuzzi, Larkin, and Mantha. You love to see it.
You do. And this team, Pete, this is like history always repeats itself. This happened last year. They finished strong. And the year before that, they finished strong too. Mm-hmm. Larkin and Mantha in particular. So if Mantha's available, which he probably is because someone probably cut the cord on that IR spot, wanted to free up, make it a little roster flexibility, I would pick up Anthony Mantha. You are going to lose out in the plus minus category, guaranteed. But you will gain some goals. You'll gain some assists. You'll gain some power play points. I think that's a fair trade-off. Three categories for one.
And it's funny, too, Red Wings play the Sabres, who they beat in shootout last Thursday. Mm-hmm. I'm actually, my goalie of the night is Jonathan Bernier. This guy has been amazing over the past 10, 15 games. 7-5-0, 940 save percentage.
On the Red Wings?
Yeah, on the Red Wings, 7-5-0 lately. And they've won two of their past three. They can beat Buffalo again. We always say Buffalo should win this game. They can't lose this game. Mm. You
we
know what they can
much.
Almost every time.
Yeah.
That's what it's become.
It's funny. I can't believe I'm saying this. I will be taking the Red Wings tonight at plus money. What I saw from Bernier against Boston.
Right, you were talking about it.
He was very impressive. And you know what? I'm going to fade this Buffalo Sabres team the rest of the way. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know what to say about the Sabres team. They are plummeting. I fade them all year.
I'll stick up for Kruger here. I just don't think there's any possible combinations that they can piece together forward-wise that would do anything in this league. I mean, you're looking at Jack Eichel playing close to 30 minutes a game, and this is what you've gotten in the standings.
Yeah, you're right.
Evan Rodriguez, don't even get me started on the Sabres. it'll be too deep here. So I'll take a backseat on this one, boys.
Well, you mentioned Jeff Skinner. I mean, it's crazy. Even with Olofsson out, since Skinner has come back, he hasn't really played at all with Eichel. And I was like, it was maddening the other day when I was watching the end of that game, their last game, that they, again, another one goal deficit, third period, lifeless. They get a power play, they can't convert. And the whole third period of that game, like almost the whole third period, it was Eichel with Reinhardt and Jimmy Vesey. I mean, put Jeff Skinner on the ice with Jack Eichel if you're going to play him for 75% of a period.
Think back to Carolina, though. Skinner played himself under the third line there. This is nothing new for this player. Like, I think, again, I like Jeff Skinner, great skater. He can score goals. But there's something more to the scenes there that we don't know about because this is the same thing that happened to him in Carolina.
He's got a no-movement clause, by the way.
He's got his five-bed, five-bath condo downtown Buffalo.
I have a hard time believing also with coaches like Peter Laviolette and Gallant that somehow Kruger is going to stay in Buffalo. I'm not in the business of trying to get coaches run out of town, but let's be honest here. This guy was running a Premier League soccer team a year ago, and now you got Laviolette and Gallant on the sidelines watching. In Buffalo, the fans are great. They're desperate. When Buffalo is good, it's good for the NHL. They consistently do the best television ratings throughout the country. Buffalo's got to turn this thing around. They got one of the best players in the world in Jack Eichel. Mm-hmm. You got to get a real coach in there, I think, and maybe even a real GM, and then let's go. They got to turn it around.
And you have Eichel locked up, but, I mean, there's going to be a point where this guy gets a little frustrated with what's going on around him. So, and another thing they have, the Buffalo Sabres, the longest active playoff drought in the NHL. So onward and upward, but it's not looking that way.
Best case scenario for them at the deadline is getting rid of Zach Bogosian for like a seventh round pick and a bag of popcorn. I mean, like that's honestly the best case. And that's what the problem is. It's just too deep to fix right now.
And we were looking at the RFAs, top RFAs, just to maybe rub it in a little bit here. After Darnell Nurse signed the other day, yesterday to be exact, Sam Reinhart is among like the top five or top six RFAs on the market. So they have to pony up and spend him, spend up for him as well. So they're going to be throwing a lot of money at their top three forwards, and that Skinner contract's not looking good right now.
No comment. Toronto Maple Leafs, interesting news there. Freddie Anderson was in the starter's crease this morning at practice. Pete, you and I at length. This is why we do the show 4 days a week, because things change under 24 hours. We were just talking about Jack Campbell, great value. He can, be a workhorse when Freddie's out. Well, if Freddie comes back tonight, are you worried about having picked up Jack Campbell?
Not really, just because I think all year you look at Freddie Anderson being overworked, relied upon too heavily, and now they have Campbell. He's another guy that's under contract. He signed, I think, a two-year extension with the Kings prior to the start of this season, so he's under contract with the Maple Leafs beyond this season. They don't have to feel pressured either way. They can use Campbell to their advantage to give Freddie Anderson a lot of rest and maybe split some games. Like, what, they have three or four games this week? They could split the two. Just play it safe at this point and try to get into the playoffs and keep Freddie fresh, because that is what you'll need in the playoffs.
I mean, look at the standings right now in the Atlantic, too. Now Toronto, thank God, they are in the playoffs today. They are in third place in the Atlantic Division. That'll probably change tomorrow. But now they've got a little wiggle room over the Panthers, who, oh my gosh, I mean, I sat Carter Hart yesterday like a total dunce in fantasy. Like, I just was, completely overthought the matchup, didn't start him, ended up rolling Sammy against the Islanders, which, I mean, you can't roll either Holtby or Sammy now. Like, PSA, you cannot put either of the Caps goalies out right now. So Florida, I mean, now I'm like, okay, this is normally a team that scores a lot of goals. I thought it was good logic, but now the Flyers look like they're going to make the playoffs. So I'm just all jumbled up on the Atlantic teams, like Florida, Toronto hanging in there. I just don't know what to make of it.
Well, the weird thing is, like, the Atlantic is bad compared to the Metro. Like, there's a really good chance only one of those two teams will make the playoffs between Toronto and Florida, which would be devastating for whichever one misses. And very quietly, Montreal, even after losing last night, I know they have a few more games played than those two teams, but they're only 5 points back of a playoff spot after that loss. So the Atlantic, very quietly, after Boston and Toronto, Boston and Tampa Bay, I should say, is kind of weak.
This ship is sailed. I mean, I'm all out on Montreal. If they make the playoffs, that'd be awesome. I want to go to a game at Bell Center for sure, but I'm totally out on that team.
What do you think about Igor Shesterkin ahead of his first career road start at the Winnipeg Jets, with the way Kyle Connor's been playing, the way Patrick Laine's been playing on the same line? Neil Pionk has been a huge standout at the defense position, and it's actually the reunion game between Pionk and Jacob Trouba. I like those guys in DFS, but I think I'm steering clear of Shesterkin here.
Well, let's just see. Based on my FanDuel lineup, I have Laine in and I have Pionk in stacked. Mm-hmm. So that would lead me to believe I'm not too high on Shesterkin tonight. I love the story so far. I love the Rangers rebuild, in quotes. It's not a rebuild. Like, they're a good team now. But they need another year or two. Shesterkin, he's probably due for a stinker. And I think, you know, with Laine leading the charge, they're racking up some serious goals lately. I think it's going to be a hard win for Shesty.
And you think of Laine, and he's a top 30 overall fantasy player this year, as quiet as it could be, considering he was probably the biggest bounce back candidate of the season. We talked about him at length in the preseason, but I was surprised to see Kyle Connor leads Winnipeg with 28 goals and 59 points on a team with Wheeler and Scheifele and Laine. Crazy.
Very good for
them.
I mean, the numbers he put up at Michigan were ridiculous. So if he gets even close to that production, he's going to be like an 85-point guy minimum.
And ever since his rookie year, he's like 30-plus goals, 30-plus goals, 30-plus goals. And now he's on pace for probably career high.
And Winnipeg's right there behind Calgary. They are now tied for Arizona. So you got to look at these games from a DFS and betting standpoint now, this time of year, the standings. Like, this Rangers-Jets till tonight is huge. It's going to be rocking there in Winnipeg. So I would side with the home team and the Jets. They have let us down, I think all three of us down, at many points this year. But I would take the Jets over the Rangers. I mean, the Trouba welcome back party, if you can even call it that. He didn't want to play there. So I like the Neil Pionk story, Pete. I think you and I have both been on that this season, and just tip of the cap to that player for being the better player in that deal, which nobody, you and I included, would have predicted.
Winnipeg has the offensive firepower to sneak into the playoffs. I don't know if they could win anything there. They haven't won much in the playoffs, you know, in recent memory, but yeah, they still could get in there. I favor them over Chicago, especially over Nashville. Mm-hmm. I mean, why Nashville's still starting Pekka Rinne in an important game like that last night, I just don't understand it anymore. He gave up 4 goals on, what, 17 shots? Yeah. When Saros has been playing pretty well, I don't know. And then the Coyotes showed a pulse, so that was good. So I would probably lean, like, Winnipeg first, then maybe the Coyotes, just because they have the defensive structure and Ranta's showing some fire lately. It's good to see.
Now, I want to ask the roundtable here. Carolina at Dallas, very big game for both teams. And Carolina, I do see a little bit of a bounce back appeal. It looks like they're going to start Mrazek as of now, which is interesting because Reimer's been playing really well. I do have Mrazek in my DFS lineup. Do you see road appeal for Carolina here like I do, or is this too much of a stretch against a quality opponent in Dallas?
I do. I see the Hurricanes could walk in there, and it is the Isner Bowl. It's his two favorite teams. We like to mention that when these two teams face off. But Tyler Seguin hasn't scored a goal this calendar year.
Wow.
It's
really?
Ridiculous. Yeah,
oh, that's
the last
for
goal
fantasy
was like
owners.
December 28th or 29th, his last goal. And he still leads them in points. 40 points is Dallas's leading scorer in 55 games.
That's I got to check the spread on
that's
this.
That's horrible. So, yeah, Carolina walks in there, scores 3+ goals. I think they get the win.
Dallas minus 130 favorites. More money is going on Carolina. I think Carolina has road appeal. I think the game, I don't want to say it means more to Carolina, but
it certainly does.
I think it does, yeah. So I would go with the motivational factor there. And maybe the best coach in the NHL, and Rod Brendamore, as our friend Brett likes to say.
that is not true, but it is a good take. There's no doubt about it. I like that. Carolina 5.5. I do like that. 52% of bets are on Carolina. The more I look at it, the more I like it. I will say this just to close on the game. Mrazek, if he does play, he needs to win. If he loses this game, there's going to be a real controversy there. There already is one brewing. If he drops this one and gives up a handful of goals, it's going to be very bad for Carolina.
Yeah, and watch the Hurricanes on the live line in certain games, especially when Reimer's in net, which doesn't apply tonight, but they can come back from a big deficit. The game with Reimer, they ended up coming back and winning at Vegas. Mm-hmm. Reimer gave up, what, 4 or 5 goals, and they still won. So he keeps them in the game. They play really hard in front of Reimer, and that adds to what you're saying, that the fire has been lit under Mrazek. The leash is short.
That was a terrible loss by Vegas, by the way. I mean, give credit to Carolina coming back and winning that game, but for Vegas and DeBoer, that's a head-scratcher. I'm looking at the board tonight. I'm trying to figure out where I'm going, where I want to go. And like usual, there's nothing really absolutely jumping out at me. Curious your thoughts on Peter's ready to go, waving his hand. What do you got?
Well, while you think about it, okay. I wanted to talk to the defenseman expert, Robbie Reese, about Jake Gardner because he has 5 assists in his past 4 games. Is this a guy that's going to be in your top 50 defenseman rankings later today? Hamilton's still out.
He's in. And
he's in, baby.
Jake the Snake is a guy that, like, he that injury he had, the back problems over the summer, that takes a while to get going from, especially in a team like Carolina that's so deep on defense. This is the time he can finish strong. Even if he gets you, like, let's say 0.65 points per game to end the season, that's going to return value in fantasy. Based on that, how bad that position has been this year, Pete, Jake Gardner absolutely in the top 50 defensemen. If you've got a guy like a Sam Girard now that's cooled off a bit in his last little bit, that's a type of player, any equivalent to Sam Girard, that I would cut the cord with and pick up a guy like Jake Gardner.
Fair enough. Good insight there from Robbie on Gardner, who's readily available among the defensemen out there.
Now, I will throw out a value pick for you guys here. This has burned all of us this year. It's Minnesota underdogs at home against the Vegas Golden Knights. Bill Guerin, quote this morning, "If there is quit, there will be more trades." I like Minnesota to respond big time to this trade, shake up the locker room a little bit. I like them to win a squeaker, a real close one, against the Knights tonight.
The Sharps have loved Minnesota at home, and for the most part, they've been right. Minnesota has sprung the upset at home many, 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 many a time this year. I like your logic there. Bill Guerin trying to light a fire. Boudreau has done a nice job considering, you know, what he's got in Minnesota. I would take them in Vegas. Scott, I don't know what to make of this Vegas team. I really don't. I just don't. So I'll take Minnesota at home, take a flyer on them.
Well, they're getting William Karlsson back from the broken finger, which can help them. I know he's slated to start on the third line, but he'll work his way back up eventually to the usual spot with Jonathan Marchessault and Riley Smith, currently occupied by Stastny. For Minnesota, I mean, Fiala is the guy to tap into DFS and season long, even if you're not going to, you know, even if you're going to cut him, say, in your season long for a guy like Zucker, he's worth keeping in other leagues. He's worth rolling out in DFS. with 20 shots on goal over his past four games and 7 points in the span.
And for gambling purposes, this Wild team has no quit. Like, that game against the Avalanche over the weekend was a playoff-type atmosphere. It always is between those two teams, but it just shows the heart on that Wild team, led now by young forward Kevin Fiala.
And there are, you know, there are teams out there where teams haven't made the playoffs in a long time, like Buffalo, where the fans are frustrated and a little negative. You don't really see that in Minnesota. I think they're trusting the process now with the rebuild. Fans are excited about the rebuild. And the main thing is, like, they pack that building every single night, whether it's the top team in town or somewhere in the middle or lower end in the league. Really good fan base in Minnesota, and they're patient right now.
A game with major, major standings implications. Chicago, Edmonton. Edmonton at home with a bruised knee for Connor McDavid, their captain, their star player, alongside Leon Draisaitl. I do like Edmonton in this one just based on their goal differential. Minus 10 for Chicago this year. Completely unacceptable. I want to see more from that team. We keep cherry-picking this team, Pete, and they keep letting us down. I love what Robin Lehner's doing. You can't say enough good things about the guy, but I think Edmonton steps up and closes this door here.
So is McDavid out? Game-time decision?
He's in. He's playing. He's a warrior.
So he's in my lineup.
If he's playing, I will take the over in this game, over six. I believe that is a good total bet for this contest.
I completely agree. I was just going to say that I don't know who's going to win this game, and that's certainly the case so many times with the Chicago Blackhawks. They've burned me some nights. They've made me look good some nights, and many other things in between. So I'm just avoiding who's going to win this game, and I'll just go with the over if I had to pick anything.
I'm on the avoid train too. I like Edmonton, but Chicago, way better value in this one. I am not willing to go minus 125 for Edmonton. That team has shown me time in and time again, you cannot rely on them. Their goalies aren't good enough. Their defense is very average. Let's call a spade here. So I'm not touching the gambling. I do if my gut's telling me Edmonton wins.
Okay. You're right. You can't rely on Edmonton. I relied on them against San Jose the other night, and I had egg on my face. Best bet of the night would be the over six in this game. I look at the board, that's my best bet. And Carolina, I think they can pull the upset, but if you want guaranteed money, take them on the puck line +1.5. It's a big price, but I think they keep it within a goal and possibly win it outright.
Sometimes, like last night with the Capitals game, I felt really confident in the Capitals, and I threw out the two words puck line. I think Robbie did too. I'm not picking the puck line for another week after that one. So we'll see what happens. Yeah, I think the Oilers will win that game more likely than the Blackhawks. Dylan Strom is back from injury, has played four games and a couple of goose eggs. And he plays, I think he's been playing lately with DeBrincat. I own DeBrincat in one league. I mean, is this a guy that you would ever consider dropping? He's been a big disappointment this year. And he doesn't play with Taves, and he doesn't play with Kane. So, like, what is it, two strikes? What's the third strike?
I give him 10 strikes. It's a player I just like to watch. Yeah. So, you know, I'll never drop. It's same thing with Kessel. I mean, he's been so bad in fantasy this year, but I can't drop him. I mean, that's why my team is in 10th right now in that one league, Pete. It's just like that. I'm too stubborn. I'm refusing to drop these guys, even though the smart man would. I've got too much bias, too much pride to drop those players.
So you would not drop Kessel or DeBrincat for Jason Zucker.
No, and that. So let's talk about the Pens tonight. Minus 115, Pete. Tampa Bay coming in there on a total hot streak. Kucherov playing out of his mind, winning big games. I like the Lightning on the road on the second of a back-to-back. That is total lunacy if you're gambling to take a team like this against Pittsburgh, who's rested at home. But just the Bolts, you cannot slow this team down. I think we can all agree they want to make amends for their disappointing end of the season last year, and I think they're going to keep this thing rolling against the Pittsburgh Penguins.
For sure. I could see Tampa Bay winning a tight one. Kucherov, lineup lock. I mean, I know he's one of the best players in the league, but the guy has multi-point games in 9 of his past 10 games. I stuck with him in that season-long weekly league. My goodness, he's been carrying my team for 4 or 5 weeks now with multi-point games almost every night. So spend up for him in DFS. I know you're a Sorelli guy. Vasilevsky's going to be in net. How about that? I like the confidence. They started in that big rivalry game yesterday in Columbus. They started Curtis McElhinney. He got the win against Elvis, and now they got Vasi going against big Pittsburgh.
And without Stammer, too. So right. Keep an eye on that. Again, we record these early, so Stammer could be playing. He could not be playing. Either way, get some of those bolts in your lineup. That's why I went Sorelli yesterday. It's like if Stammer's a little bit banged up, his minutes, Sorelli's going to rise, and he keeps delivering, Pete, even if it's blocks, whatever it is, shots, he's getting them.
Good stuff on Sorelli. I've been on that train since week one, and it's good to see him blossom in a secondary role for Tampa Bay. Here's my lineup for tonight, Robbie. I got Connor McDavid and William Karlsson coming at center. I know there's the day-to-day listed on McDavid right now, but I'll take my chances on him. Karlsson coming back from the long injury absence. Nikita Kucherov, Anthony Mantha, Jason Zucker to capitalize. He is in the contest, $5,400. So good job by FanDuel getting him in after the late night trade. Robert Thomas, 6-game point streak, $4,400. Lineup lock. I'm actually going with that storyline in the Ranger Winnipeg game. I'm taking both defensemen from opposite teams.
Interesting.
I got Trouba for the blocks coverage, maybe some scoring pop against his former mates. And Neil Pionk, who I know you have as well.
Cool.
And then Jonathan Bernier for a cheap goalie option. And I can't believe that Detroit is, plus 210 underdog?
Yeah,
what the heck is that?
Plus 184 to be exact. Big underdogs against a Sabres team that is going down the toilet, if you ask me. And I'll take the Red Wings. I'll take a flyer on them as well.
I like them too.
You can't miss on a pick like that. I mean, if it hits, it hits. If it misses, you go back to the drawing board the next day. When the value's that good, you cannot go wrong. One little breaking injury note here. Tom Galitti of NHL.com says Evgeny Kuznetsov is day-to-day with an upper body injury. To me, no-brainer to add Lars Eller. The guy keeps scoring. He's hot right now. He can finish strong depending on how long Kuzi's out for. And one tidbit too, Pete, that I'll throw out here to remind listeners, every time one of the Caps lose their top forwards, they play better. This is the best thing that they can that can happen to that team right now. They need a little rallying cry. I think Lars Eller steps up major.
I love Lars Eller, fellow Dane, and he went like on a 4 or 5 game point streak collectively with Carl Hagelin. So talk about elevating a player around you recently. So I'm big on Lars Eller as well.
Are you Danish?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Jensen. Yeah, my dad.
That is the most Danish last name ever.
I thought you were a big Italian.
Yeah, now you know why I'm always favoring Freddie Anderson and Oliver Bjorkstrand and all these guys.
All right. Okay, so you said fellow Dane, and I said, wow, I've known you for a long time, Peter. I did not know that. Robbie, some DFS players.
Jensen is the most common surname in Denmark. but nowadays it is the second most common surname in Denmark, where it is shared by 5% of the population.
Goes to show you how worldly I am. I rarely leave my apartment, so I wouldn't know that.
Everybody's name in Denmark is either Jensen or Hansen.
Wow.
Yeah, and they have like 4 Jensens on their hockey national team.
Yeah, you can get any jersey basically with any number because so many of the guys share the last name. So you have your pick of it, Pete.
I want you to come in with the Danish flag. Little representation. Usually you're repping your teams, your zillion hockey teams, the Sharks the most, but I'd like you to be draped with the Danish flag one of these days. That'd be nice.
Sounds good.
So my lineup here is Nate MacKinnon, Austin Matthews, Pat Laine, Zach Sanford, Kevin Fiala, Alex Galchenyuk, Matt Dumba, Neil Pionk, and Petey Mrazek. I do feel very good about this lineup, so if you want to roll that out and let me know how it hits, please do.
Good stuff. I like the guts to go with Galchenyuk. He's going to be everybody's going to be drafting Zucker, you'd imagine. He's probably going to be 15-20% owned upon joining the Penguins for his potential debut. He's not confirmed to play, but it sounds like he's going to play. But Galchenyuk, if he does play, certainly some really sneaky value there.
Put a bow on it. Put a bow on the program, boys. Excellent work today. This is that's high quality information and entertainment. So big time.
Long show, big slate, big expectations, and hopefully some big results. And for Bob Bender, Rob Reese, Pete Jensen, thanks for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, and we'll talk to you again next time.